The text this morning is a passage we're well familiar with. There's a phrase that I just love in this, and that is newness of life. Newness of life. Generally speaking, the new things in religion are not true. And the true things in religion are not new, generally speaking. But the Bible does speak of a number of new things, and this morning I'd like just us to consider a few new things. And I'm just going to be as brief as I can. Faye and I have to head to Tennessee. Ashley is having a wedding shower up there this afternoon at 2 o'clock, and we're going to have to head to get there. So I'm just going to get on into it. This morning, we are going to first of all talk about a new covenant. Hundreds of years before the New Testament was given, God had promised to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. We're familiar with Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. The writer of Hebrews quotes this same passage in Hebrews chapter 8, and in verse 7, he explains why a new covenant was needed. He said, "For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second." And then in Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 4, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect." The law cannot take away their sin. It cannot make those who would come to God, approach God, sinless. It cannot make them perfect. For then they would not have ceased to be offered. For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. Every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. So the need for a new covenant was obvious. It was not a fault in God's law. It was the fault was in man. Man was not able to keep that law. That law required perfect obedience, and if you could not require perfect obedience, you had to offer a sin offering. But if Jesus had not come and died, that sin offering would have been useless, because He is the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And when Jesus came, He brought with Him a new covenant, not only with the house of Judah, with the house of Israel, but also with the house of all the Gentiles in the world, which includes every one of us. I'm thankful to God for a new covenant. There's also a new birth that follows or gains entrance into that new covenant. See, we enter the benefits and the blessings of this covenant by this new birth, this second birth. Christians are people who have been twice born. Twice born. All of us were born into an earthly family by fleshly birth, we know that. But to enter the family of God, there must be a spiritual birth. Do you remember the visit Nicodemus made by night to talk to Jesus in John chapter 3? He admitted that Jesus was from God, for no one could do the miracles that Jesus did unless God was with him. So Jesus answered and said to him in verse 3, "Most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He went on to say in verse 5, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Peter expressed it like this in 1 Peter 1:23, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." There is a new birth. There is a transition from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. There is a transition from being children of darkness to children of light. There is a transition or a moving from death to life. And that all happens because of this new birth that gives us the benefits to this new covenant. Well, what's the result of this new birth? Well, one would be that when he becomes a Christian, you become something brand new. Something brand new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. King James says a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I love Romans 8:1. This verse gives me hope. It gives me assurance. It gives me peace. For it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That verse gives me hope. No condemnation. Man, that's what we're all striving for. So I'm thankful for the new covenant. And then to benefit from that new birth that makes one a new creature in Christ. And from that new creature, there must come a new heart. A new heart. When we enter this new covenant by this new birth, becoming new creatures in Christ Jesus, we must have a new heart. What is that? Well, in Romans 12:2, you all know Paul's admonition that you do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is a new attitude about living in this world, but not living like this world. It is a change of the way we think, a change of the outlook that we have. No longer is it about me. No longer is it to be about me. Now, before one becomes a Christian, life is about me. But after I become a Christian, after I become a child of God, life is to be about Him. It's to be about Him. And I trust Him to take care of me. And if you try to take care of you, if you try to hold on to your life, if you try to save your life, Jesus says you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, meaning if you let go, He doesn't mean that if you die. Obviously, death could happen. That could be included in that. But He means if you let go of your life, if you release your life, if you let go of the stranglehold on your life and surrender your life to God, you will save your life. You will save your life. And so there's got to be this new heart, a new outlook on life, a new standard of conduct, a new way of dealing with possessions, with life's pressures, and with people. A new outlook on life. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 says, we are to put off concerning our former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see that? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. See, this new man, this new attitude, this new heart, a new way of living, a new way of thinking, a new way of looking at life from God's perspective instead of the world's perspective. That you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you know what happens when you obey the gospel? When you become a Christian, you get bathed. You get washed. A washing of regeneration. It is a total renewal. You remember Naaman the leper? When he came to that dirty, muddy Jordan River, he would not dip, would he? He said, oh man, I've got beautiful rivers back home. Why do I have to come dip in this muddy mess? But he had enough faith that he went ahead and did what he was told to do. And he dipped 6 times and came up and he still was covered with leprosy. But when he came up that 7th time, his skin was like that of a newborn baby. And that's exactly what happens to our soul when we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. When we receive that new birth, there is a reality of righteousness with us. We have no sin. Are you listening? We have no sin. We are like a brand new baby. We have no sin. And we are holy. God has put His name on us. We belong to Him. He has bought us, paid our sin debt that we could not pay, and we become children of God. We are righteous. We are holy, not because we are good, but because God is good. And that's the reason that we can have this confidence and this hope. In Colossians 3, verse 8 through 10, "But now you yourselves are to put off these." Now we're talking about becoming a new man. We're talking about a new outlook, a new heart, a new mind, a new way of thinking, a new way of seeing the world. "You put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." These things have no place in our lives anymore. "Do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." You're trying to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. You're trying to be more like Jesus. And so you have to do away with the sinful things. In Romans 13, 12 through 14, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." We cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. This is a whole different way of thinking and acting and living. So, there's a new covenant that results in a new birth, that results in a new creature, that results in a new heart. And that new creature is to take a different kind of food. A different kind of food. My cardiologist last week, when I saw him, he looked at me and he said, "Well, think rabbit. Think rabbit." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, he told me to do this in front of the church. That's what he did to me. He said, "Get you some long ears." And just, I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Carrots, salad, lots of it. And this will help." And I'm going, "Got your point, Dr. Denny. Got your point." Y'all know Dr. Denny? He's a nut. But I love him, and he's going to help me live. He is. And I'm grateful to God for him and for others like him. And I'm going to eat, and I've been eating, and I've lost about 5 pounds since last week. So, yes, me. I'm going to keep on going. There's going to be a whole lot less of me to love in the near future. But we need a new food, a new food. This new creature or new man requires new food. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2, "Therefore, laying aside all malice..." Now see, Peter's saying the same things Paul was saying. "Laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. Lay all that down, and as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." God's food will cause the new man to grow to the point and grow rapidly. He'll help him grow to the point that he can handle the meat of God's word. But you know what the problem for too many is? Many don't eat enough. Many do not eat enough. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, "For though by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The more you practice Christianity, Tom tells me every Sunday after I get out, I'm standing back there in the back, and Tom goes out and he grabs my hand and he says, "You keep practicing." Every Sunday, he says it has for 22 years. Every time I preach, Tom has said, "You keep practicing." Well, I'm keeping on. "But those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern the good from the evil, that which is good and right and holy from that which is corrupt and impure and ungodly." We learn this. Those that have to have milk, those that are still having to read the first principles, those that say, when I read the Bible, I don't get anything out of it. Because you're still a babe. And you're still having to use the milk. And you're not eating the meat. And you need some good food. You need some solid food. So you need to eat more of it. If you're still hungry, eat more. That's what you do with God's Word. Now me, I'm going to eat less of this rabbit food. But with God's Word, we need to eat more. We need to keep feeding ourselves. You know, it's no disgrace to be on a milk diet if we're babes or if we're sick. If there's something that's preventing you from being able to, you know, but it's a disgrace to stay on one. And the only time a full-grown man needs to be reduced to milk is when he is sick. There's just too many sick folks in the Lord's church. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. So we need to partake of this new food. We need to consume God's Word. Daniel was told, eat up the book. And it was in a prophetic form. In prophecy, he was told, eat up the book or eat up the scroll. And he put it in his mouth. And in his mouth it was bitter, but in his stomach it was sweet. And it was prophetic. It was symbolism. But we should symbolically consume this book because this is what's going to save us. Folks, we are all getting closer to the day of our death. Every one of us is getting closer to the day that our heart will stop beating, we will breathe our last, and we will stand before God in judgment. Every one of us are closer to that time today than we were yesterday. And some, by this time next year, some in this group will likely not be here. Some in this group. And it doesn't matter what their age, old or young, it's likely that in the crowd this size, somebody's not going to be here this time next year. It could be you. It could be me. And so we need to eat food and prepare ourselves for that time. Oh, then the one thing that happens to us too when we become new creatures, we develop a new heart, we're eating that new food. Do you know why? Because we have a new name. We have a new name. This new creature in Christ has a new name awaiting him as soon as he's born into the family of Christ. This is the family name that belongs exclusively to the family of Christ. And we wear the name of the head of our family. Hundreds of years before Jesus came to the earth, God said through the prophet Isaiah, the Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord will name. Isaiah 62 verse 2. Cornelius, we talked about in Bible class, was the first Gentile convert. We read of his conversion in Acts 10. And in the very next chapter, we have a significant statement. In Acts 11, verse 26, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. A new name. After Paul had preached to King Agrippa, the king made use of this language. He said, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Acts 26, verse 28. He knew that if he became obedient to the gospel that Paul preached, he would be a Christian. And that is the same, isn't it? I mean, it's the same church, isn't it? It's the same Lord, isn't it? When the gospel is preached and obeyed, one believes the message and obeys the same commands, don't they? The same commands to become a Christian. Christians only. And only Christians. Nothing more and nothing less. It takes something different from the gospel to make somebody different than a Christian. And of course, it's just like they were told to do, we must also do. And that is to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2 and verse 12. We must not forget to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Wear the name of Christian. Wear it proudly and represent that name. The vocation wherewith you were called. Represent Christ like you're supposed to before a lost and dying world. And finally this morning, a new home. A new home. We have something to look forward to. We have a life beyond this life to look forward to. A new home. Faithful Christians are looking forward to a perfect place. A place where you don't have to worry about the plumbing or electrical problems. We're about to get a new roof on the church building starting this next week. If y'all come up here, you better watch out. Don't let Troy throw nails under your tires and stuff like that, because he's just liable to do that. But we're getting a new roof. You know, we don't have to worry about that in heaven. We don't have to worry about getting sick. We don't have to worry about being tired. We don't have to worry about troubles and temptations and problems. It's a perfect home that we have awaiting us. And there's only joy and peace and rest and love. Listen to 2 Peter 3, beginning in verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, talking about this earth that's going to melt with fervent heat, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which dwells righteousness, the King James says. You see, the old earth will pass away. It's not going to be global warming. No, that's not going to take out this world. That's not going to make this earth uninhabitable. That's not going to happen, okay? God is going to destroy this world when He's ready. And He's the one that's going to do it. He's not going to let man do it. He's going to do it. And the new heaven, the new earth, all that means is referring to our home with Jesus. That's all that's talking about. May God help every one of us to live in such a faithful manner before the Lord that we can enjoy the blessings of the new Jerusalem, from Revelation 21 in verse 2. Today we've looked at some new things, a few new things. We've looked at the new covenant and the new birth. We've considered becoming a new creature. We talked about having a new heart and eating new food and wearing a new name and looking forward to a new home. However, in order for that to happen for one who's not yet a Christian, there must be a change of life, a change of heart, a new mind regarding sin and submission to God. You must first believe in Jesus enough that you will turn from sin, you will repent, turn away from your sin and commit to doing what's right before God, that you will open your mouth and confess the sweet name of Jesus, that you truly believe He is the Son of God, and then that you will be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, allowing the blood of Jesus to wash away your sins. If you're already in God's family, but you behaved like the prodigal son of Luke 15, then see where you are and repent. Confess to God your sins and pray to God to forgive you. And He will forgive you and He will restore you to faithfulness. And then live that new life by walking in the light of God. So new things that really are part of the old time religion. I want to encourage you to live right before the Lord today and then every day, so that one day heaven will be your home. If you're not a Christian, please obey God today. And if you're already faithful to Him, continue to do the good work. And if there's any way we can be of service to you, we invite you to come right now if you need to, as we stand and sing.